Good to see everybody this morning. Good to see Michael and Jessica back. We missed them. Good to see Jerry back from Arkansas as well. Going to be going over question 5 this morning in the catechism. This is a very long one. We're going to take about 3 weeks to go through it. Before I start in it this morning, I want to read a passage of scripture in Psalm 138. We're going to be talking about the Bible being God's word this morning, and I want to set a little foundation. In Psalms 138, y'all don't have to turn there. In Psalms 138, verse 2, it says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God has put serious emphasis upon his word. And in this study, I don't want to go quickly through it. I want to take some time. And let's dig deep into what God has done. Our question this morning is how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? The answer is the Bible evidences itself to be God's Word by the heavenliness of its doctrine, the unity of its parts, its power to convert sinners and to edify saints. But the Spirit of God only, bearing witness by and with the Scriptures in our hearts, is able fully to persuade us that the Bible is the Word of God. Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come together this morning and worship you and hear your Word, Father. Oh God, I pray that you would open the book to us this morning, Lord, and show us mighty and wonderful things in thy word. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help me, Lord, as I teach this morning. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon me, Lord, where you would be glorified above all things, Father. I don't want any recognition. I want you to be known, Father. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, our first proof text this morning is in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. We'll see here the wisdom of God revealed by Scripture. We'll be looking at verses 6, 7, and 13. Verse 6 says, Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Perfect meaning they are those who are mature in Christ. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught or to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 13 as well. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Make 3 points here. Number 1, the wisdom spoken here is the wisdom that is from God, the wisdom that is Christ, not vain philosophy or man's attempt at reasoning of Scripture. Secondly, we see that it is a hidden wisdom revealed only by God to his elect. Thirdly, that the Holy Ghost teaches us the deep spiritual truths of Scripture. Turn over one chapter to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made wisdom unto us, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 19 and 20 in the same chapter, 19 through 21. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 5, 11, and 12 as well. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. Or another way of saying it, that no man knoweth the things of God in his own wisdom, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Here we see God's wisdom revealed by the Scripture. Our second text this morning is in Psalm 119. And we'll see here it is God who gives understanding of His Word, not us. Psalm 119, we'll be looking at verses 18 and 129. Verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Verse 129 says that thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doeth my soul keep them. 2 points here. God must open our eyes to the understanding of Scripture. And secondly, to a changed heart, a saved heart. The Word of God is wonderful to behold and also to proclaim. Stay in the same chapter right here, and let's look at verses 33 through 40. Now, I want you to notice something in each one of these individual scriptures, how that it is God that does these things in us, and how the psalmist was asking for God's help. Verse 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." Turn back to Psalm 40. Let's look at one verse here. We'll see how wonderful God's word is. Look at verse 5. "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Our third proof text this morning, let's turn to Acts chapter 10. And we'll see how that salvation was foretold or yet prophesied in the Old Testament. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Peter declares here, "To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." The Messiah was prophesied to come in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament, and that through his name will be remission or forgiveness of sin. Turn to Luke 24. We'll see the Lord speaking here on this wise. Let's look at verses 25 through 27. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ had to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? In beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's see what the Apostle Paul speaks on this wise. There's beautiful continuity in the Scripture. The Old Testament being fulfilled in the New Testament. Verses 1 through 4 and 15 here, it says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Pay attention to the next four words. According to the Scriptures. And not the New Testament Scriptures, beloved, the Old Testament Scriptures. The apostles did not preach from a New Testament. They preached from an Old Testament. Christ crucified, buried, and risen. In verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Salvation foretold in the Old Testament. Our fourth proof text this morning is in Acts chapter 26. And we'll see the unity here of the Old and the New Testament. Acts 26, let's look at verse 22. Verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. The Messiah was prophesied to come in the Old Testament. I'm sorry. The apostles preached Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from the Old Testament scriptures. Their message was the same as the prophets of old, only now fully revealed in Christ. Turn back to Luke 24. And let's look at verses 44 through 48 concerning this. Luke 24, 44 through 48. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Turn to John chapter 1. And this will be our last scripture this morning. John chapter 1. Verses 43 through 45. This is where Jesus had called his 12 disciples at the beginning of John right here. And it says, The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We see here the unity of the Old and the New Testaments. We're going to stop here this morning. Just want to encourage you to pick your Bible up. Read your Bible. Live your Bible. Cherish your Bible. For the very Word of God, not only His spoken Word, but the living Word, is in there for our benefits. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day, Lord. We thank You for the Word that You gave us in the Old Testament, Father, that prophesied of Your Son to come. We thank You, dear Lord, in John chapter 1 that You have revealed to us that that very Word spoken in the Old Testament became flesh and walked among us, and we beheld His glory. We're so thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that You bless today's service. We pray for Your presence here this morning, Lord. We pray that You would change us, Lord, that You would draw us closer to Christ. I pray for the Sunday school hour this morning with the children, with the prayer time that we're about to have. Lord, help us in the service ahead. Father, we just give You thanks, Lord. We're just so humble that You would condescend down to men like us, Lord, and that You would even look upon us, and that You would save wretched sinners like us, Father. We give You all the glory and all the praise. In Christ's name we ask You.